Okay, this is March 10th, and the topic this month is permission.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I behold you through the eyes of love, you radiant beings, you goddesses. I notice that there's only one other god in the class tonight. So I'll talk about that for one moment, about goddesses and about women in particular.
They're special.
They are. Women are very special. And women are drawn to metaphysics. They're also drawn, of course, to churches and so forth. It's the women who keep everything going. As you can see tonight, you women are keeping this class going. And why is that? Because women have always had to rely on themselves, and they had to go inside of themselves to find their strength and so forth. And men never have had to do that. Men are validated by the world around them. Men are validated by society and so forth. Women never had that luxury. So you had to find your strength inside. And this is why metaphysics appeals to women, because it's an inside job. And there's nothing wrong with that, of course. I'm delighted that women are here. But women are the ones in the world that support all the churches and so forth. Yes, right? Mm-hmm. And with their money and with their presence and so forth. And I'll tell you a cute one about the Baptist Church. You know, women support the Baptist Church. But I'm talking about the Southern Baptist Church. And every year, the Southern Baptist Church will not release the women from committing the first sin. You see, they still think that women are the cause of everything, but yet women go to the Baptist Church. You see, they support the Baptist Church. They give them money. If it wasn't for women, most churches would go out of business. They would, because men do not need it, you know, and women do. And I'm delighted with it, and I'm delighted that you people are here, but I just want to bring that up. To give yourself credit, pat yourself in the back, because you're learning something, and you're going within, and you're drawing things from inside of you that a male has never had to do, because they have been validated by the world. Females, even today, with women's liberation and all that, we still do not value women, and we should value women. And I don't know if you're familiar with this little saying. The hand that rocks the cradle controls the world. Women rock the cradle, and they are the ones who instill in their children what to do. So it's the woman at the cradle that is rocking that cradle that makes men. And I don't know when we'll ever get over that, and when we'll realize, because we should always be thinking of, we say God, and most people think of God as a male figure, but it's really a mother, father, God. It's all one. It's male and female. The God that we talk about. There's not a male God. It's just God with both qualities, both male and female qualities. And both male and female qualities dwell within us. So many men are afraid to bring out their feminine side. And so many women don't bring out their masculine side. But it's always going to be a balance. This whole thing that we talk about always is a balancing act. You must be masculine and feminine at the same time and find the best qualities of those and bring them together in yourself. But don't ever think that this thing, and we're taught that from day one, and here again, give yourself permission not to think those old thoughts anymore, that God is male. We have been taught that since day one. Very difficult for people to get out of that habit of thinking that it's a male God. but it is not. We do not teach a male God here. We teach a mother-father God, or a blending of the male and female. That is what this thing, God, is all about. It contains everything. The same way we contain everything. We contain everything. So, let's learn to see those qualities and so forth, and to bring them into balance. Because if you see a real masculine woman, it sort of rubs you the wrong way. And if you see a real effeminate man, it rubs you the wrong way. What we want is the combining, or what we call the blending of everything. The blending of everything. And we happen to be right now in this point in history. Everything is blending together. Everything is blending in the world today. If you look at the news, if you look at the television, if you look at all that, all those old stereotypes that we used to have are going down the window. People are blending, you know, and you're allowed now to show the different sides. Maybe not in my generation, but I'm sure in my father's generation, they were not allowed to show any of that. They were not allowed to show any feminine qualities whatsoever. They had to remain strictly male. And it runs into you can run into a lot of trouble that way, and a lot of relationships and so forth. And because of that idea, I'm the man or the woman, I'm the man, you're the woman. We are human beings, and we are blended together, and we're picking the best qualities from our masculine side and from our feminine side. You see? And this teaching teaches you that you're bringing all that stuff that you have inside of you to the forefront. So give yourself permission to see those qualities. When you're completely male or completely female, you're a puppet of your conditioning. You're just doing what society tells you. This is the way men act. This is the way females act. Men don't do that. I remember when I was, I was 18 years old. And I was living in Massachusetts, in Lexington, Massachusetts, with my uncle and aunt at the time. In fact, Aunt Gunny's still alive. She's 96 now. And we were out looking at homes, and I said, "Oh, that's a cute house." My uncle said, "Dallas, men do not use the word cute." And I remember that to this day. They had a different vocabulary. Women were allowed to say cute. Men were not allowed to say cute when I was growing up. It's in the language. It was everywhere. It was everywhere. So now we have the permission to let our different qualities come out, whether they're male or female. And we strike a balance. We strike a balance with inside of us, with our feminine side and our masculine side. And that's what we want. We want that blending. We want the world to blend where everything, you see, comes together. There's not all this rigid separation that we used to have. Now, I think it's very ridiculous for somebody to say, well, in our language anyway, in English, we don't have the feminine and the masculine. Other languages have feminine, masculine. We don't have that. So to be put down because you use the word cute, you see, that only females were allowed to use the word cute. Ridiculous. Don't do that type of stuff. Give yourself permission to be who you are. Give yourself that permission. That's what this whole thing is about. This whole journey that we call life is looking around, noticing and giving yourself permission to be who you are. And you have to do that for yourself. You have to give yourself permission. So do that. It's all right. We don't have to live up to society anymore. We don't have to live up to a culture anymore. There are all the codes that used to be around are not there anymore. They're not there anymore. Years ago when I lived in New York, you know, you couldn't go in a restaurant if you didn't have a coat and tie on. There was a dress code. Dress codes are not there anymore. Some of the restaurants in New York, and I don't know if you're familiar with this, better restaurants in New York, if you arrived without a coat, they supplied you with one.
A coat and a tie.
They supplied you with
some
them.
Some here, too.
Yeah. You had to put the coat on, or you didn't get served. That some of that is very good, and some of it is not very good. But you have to look at that stuff and say, what's going on here? Am I being a puppet of my conditioning? Is my culture, my society controlling me, or am I controlling it? Because society is a very fickle thing. If you look back through history, it changes constantly. One day you're allowed to do something, the next day you're not. You're saying because society doesn't allow you to do that. When I lived in the South, there's a wonderful plantation in the South at Stone Mountain, and it has what's called the welcoming arms steps. That's stair steps up both sides in the front of the house to enter. Why did they have that? Because women and men had to go up a different staircase. Why was that? Because if a woman went up the staircase, you may see her ankle. And you are not allowed to see a woman's ankle. So that's how strict that society was. That plantation society was that strict that they had separate staircases for people. Now, I think it gets a little bit ridiculous now. And, of course, when we grew up, we had men's rooms and ladies' rooms, you know. Now they just have restrooms. You can use either one in some places. I'm not for that. I'm just saying times, they are changing. So they are changing. But you have to look at that type of stuff. The whole idea, when I say give yourself permission not to be a puppet of your conditioning, not to be a puppet of the rules that society is under at the present moment. And society, as I said before, is fickle. It constantly changes. What's in this week is out next week, you know. So you have to look at those things and live your life the way you want. And when I say live your life the way you want, I mean in a wonderful, godlike manner, giving yourself permission to bring out the wonderful qualities of God. Give yourself permission to see life differently, not the way you're conditioned to see life. Learn to change your mind very rapidly, very quickly about prejudices that you had, thoughts that you used to have, the way you used to think. Can you think differently? Can you think differently of them? I'll give you a cute story. You know, I have roses. I have a rose garden. And on Friday, my yellow roses were starting to bloom. And I picked one of them. It was open enough to pick. And there was about 12 other beautiful buds on there, which I thought, oh, by Sunday, they'll be right ready to open. I went up and somebody had taken them all. All gone. Now, I could have gotten very upset, which I would have years ago. Yelled and screamed and carried on and said, how dare they? Who would do something like that? I'm going to find out who this was. I'm going to do this and I gave myself permission to change my mind. And I said, Dallas, somebody like those roses so much, they pick them and they're getting joy from them. So those roses gave somebody else joy. But you see, years ago, I was taught by my conditioning that that was not a good thing to do. You see, when I grew up, there were strict rules. You didn't cut somebody else's flowers. You didn't do this. You didn't do that. I grew up in such a very strict environment that today I laugh about it. But I'll give you another example. My mother, we lived in the country, 3 miles outside of the small town of Duncannon. And on the way into Duncannon, of course, in that day and age, people did not have a dryer. They hung their clothes in the line. And my mother could tell that those clothes weren't hung correctly. You see, and she'd point that out. You see, that thing must have washed all those clothes in the same water, because they're hanging that way. You hang your whites first, and then you hang your towels, and then you hang your socks, and then you and your clothesline has to look neat. It had to look neat at that time. Now, that was the way she was raised. Fortunately, it took me quite a while to escape that conditioning and to realize that it means absolutely nothing. Who cares? Remember, I started this with, you had that thing with the dishwasher. Who cares how the dishwasher's loaded? You know, loading the dishwasher, you know, has broken up more relationships than anything.
Because they break if they're not loaded properly.
Yeah, and this isn't right. And you load them from the back to the front. And you do, they have all these rules about a dishwasher. Can you imagine? Who cares? They're just horrible. See, they're horrible rules. We don't need that anymore. So you have to give yourself permission to let those things go.
They'll break.
Pardon?
The dishes will break.
Who told you that? Your mother.
Because they have.
Well, yes, but... I never
from
had
my
any.
Husband.
Oh, from your company loads. And well, maybe they do break sometimes. But we have to look at those silly little things in society that we grow up in, and then we make them so important. You see? So you have to give yourself permission to give up those little things. They really don't matter. That's not what we're here on this journey for, to load the dishwasher correctly.
So he doesn't load the dishwasher at all anymore.
Well, see, stop.
Fine.
Well, he stopped, and that's good. If you could figure it out, and if you want to do it, then you do it. But to get all upset and so forth over those things, it means nothing in the long run. We are here on this plane of action for such a short amount of time. We must learn to use that time correctly. And when I say use that time correctly, I mean to honor ourselves. To honor ourselves as the most magnificent beings. The most magnificent beings. And also learn to honor all beings as magnificent. All beings as magnificent. I had this wonderful thought the other day. You know, I had my little doggy, and he sleeps with me. And I thought, isn't this wonderful? I am sleeping with a loving being. I am sleeping with a loving being. A lot of people don't sleep with a loving being. They sleep with a being that they don't like at all. Not healthy. Not healthy. Learn to sleep with loving beings. And if it's a dog, I don't care what it is. But they're loving beings, you know? Learn to see that. Learn to see that. So on this journey, through this wonderful experience that we call life and living, learn to give up all those little things. Give yourself permission. Say, that doesn't matter anymore. That doesn't matter anymore. A lot of people are familiar with the Course in Miracles. Some are, some aren't. Well, the first lesson in the Course in Miracles is to look around the room and say, nothing in this room has any meaning. You see, we attach meaning to everything in a room. We are the ones who attach that meaning. Nothing means anything. Nothing means anything. Did anyone last night happen to see the cosmos? The television thing? Interesting. Not as exciting as I wanted it to be. But this thing that we call the universe, they cannot fit. I mean, it just goes on. It goes on and on and on, doesn't it? It just keeps going. You see, wonderful, marvelous, beautiful things out there in the universe.
This was a documentary?
Yes.
60 Minutes, right?
No. No. It's a new show called The Cosmos. I forget that it's a black man who presented a wonderful scientist that was he wasn't a student of Carl Sagan's, but he knew Carl Sagan when he was a little boy, and Carl had him to the house and everything. It was wonderful. But so anyway, what I'm trying to say is we live in such a vast, vast universe. Learn to see that and don't get buckled down with these small little things like hanging the clothes from the line, you know. That is not what we're here for. That's nice and all. If you want to do that, please feel free to do it. I love organization and stuff like that. But I realize that is not what I'm here for. I'm here to discover who I am. I'm here to discover my own soul and to be able to see that soul and feel that soul and know what that soul wants from me, where it wants to take me. Where does it want to take me? I had a client call this morning about his job and so forth. What's he going to do? I said, all day long you sit down and you ask yourself, what does my soul want? Not what do I want, because if you ask what you want, you're going to get an ego answer. You're going to stay on a rotten job because you need the money, and you think, oh, I need that job for the money, instead of saying, what does my soul want so it can expand? We're encased, by the way, people, in this body, and we have to realize that there is more to us. We have placed ourselves in a shell, in a prison that we have to break out of. We think we are very small compared to the cosmos. We are very small. But we think in our own mind that we can't do something because we're small. We have to realize that we're very big. We're very large. We're very strong. Every morning I say to myself, I can do all things through God which strengthens me. I can do anything that I put my mind to. And I can grow. I don't have to be a small person. When we have neurosis, when we have anxiety, when we have any of the depression, it's because we think we're small. And the soul is trying to tell us, break out, become bigger, get a larger life for yourself. You see, when you're not feeling that you're not, that life isn't quite what it should be, it's because the shoes you're wearing are too small. You have to get larger shoes. You have to get a larger concept. You have to become bigger in every way. Bigger in every way. So that's why we teach, or I teach, You have to know that you are worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. With that, let's do the mattering. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with me. You have to know that, that there's absolutely nothing wrong with you. Give yourself permission to know that. We are not taught that. And if you're waiting for somebody else to do that for you, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. They're waiting for somebody to tell them. You're waiting for somebody. We're all just standing around waiting for somebody to tell us how wonderful we are. You have to know that for yourself. You have to know that you're wonderful. And that this thing that we call the soul, we call the spirit, or whatever you want to call it, when you're not feeling quite right, it's trying to grow. It wants you to grow. But we are taught, what are we always taught in this world? Security. You must look for something. There's no such thing as security, people. There's no such thing as security. We think we have to play it safe. We have to stay at that job. We have to do this. We have to do that. That is not good for the soul. That is not the way the soul wants to expand. The soul wants you to grow. It wants you to see how big you really are. How big you really are. And you can do that. But you have to give yourself permission. You have to say to yourself, my shoes are too small. I'm walking around in shoes that are pinching me. And this is what happens. You start to feel bad because you're pinching your soul. You're pinching it. It needs a bigger space to grow in. A bigger space. That's what this journey is about. This journey is about finding what we call, or I call, the authentic self. The authentic self. So that you're not imitating anybody else. And that you're not imitating your parents. So many people are imitating their parents. They are trying to complete a relationship that their parents have started. You cannot do that. You're an individualized expression of God. And you must be that individual. And you must say, here's what I want. Here's what my soul wants. And then go for that. Go for that. But grow and grow and grow, you know. And knowledge is wonderful. I think everyone should learn more and more. There's nothing wrong with knowledge. But you have to feed the soul. You have to feed the soul. And what do we feed? We feed the ego most of the time. You see, most of the stuff that we're doing is called ego food. The ego loves eating up all that food and make you think, oh, I'm this, that, and the other thing. Meantime, the soul is starving. It's starving for your attention. Everyone here knows they have a soul. Do you not? Do you talk to that soul? Do you say thank you for being there? You know, your ego is going to die. The soul is not going to die. But yet you'd never talk to the ego, a thing that is going to leave you. The ego is going to leave you. The soul is not going to leave you. So start to nourish your soul. And how do you nourish the soul? By being kind to yourself. By being kind to other people. By giving yourself permission to see things differently. By giving yourself permission to see heaven right here, right now. How many people this week put their love glasses on? Did you put your love glasses on and see things differently? You weren't here last week, were you? In the morning when you get up, you can say, oh, I'm going to put my love glasses on today. Mm-hmm. So that I see everything through the eyes of love. And you do that. That's how I got through, and I was amazed, really, and I patted myself on the back, by the way. And I absolutely know that my spirit, my soul, was delighted when I didn't get angry, upset, and so forth, because my roses were gone. You see? The ego wanted me to carry on, pick up, and, oh, how dare anyone do that to me? How dare this happen? No. My soul said, that person wanted those, and that person is enjoying them. Let them have them. You have roses, Dallas. You have more things coming. You have to do that type of thing for yourself. I know this all sounds a little trivial and trite, perhaps, but it's all the little things that count the most, you see? So then you don't get all upset. You know, and I didn't run around, call everyone on the phone and say, oh, guess what happened to me? You know? You know, I have people call me and say, guess what happened to me? And I say, I don't want to know. I don't want to know what happened to you. That's nothing but ego going on. Nothing but ego going on. So give yourself permission to see life differently. All that idea with the clothesline, the dishwasher, and the roses, it's all conditioning. It's all conditioning. And you can get rid of that conditioning. When you get rid of that conditioning, you set yourself free. You set yourself free. So I'll remind you, remember our dear friend Rhoda, she loved the Rumi saying, why are you in prison when the doors are wide open? And you see, we put ourselves in that prison of worry, that prison of what am I going to do? What are you going to do? You have to sit yourself down and say, I'm always divinely guided. This thing I call God is right here, right now, operating in as and through me. I always take the right turn in the road. And God always makes a way where there appears to be no way. You have to remind yourself, give yourself permission. Now, all this, again, are all these little buzzwords or all these little sayings and so forth, and they sound marvelous. And they especially sound marvelous when you're here. But you have to do it when you leave this room. You have to give yourself permission to make these live inside of you. So, once you have control and give yourself permission to see life differently, the way you want to see it, and give up the idea of the ego, you have set yourself free. Otherwise, the ego is going to keep you on that treadmill the rest of your life. It's going to keep you on that treadmill the rest of your life. You deserve better. And you have to know you deserve better. And you have to know that you can grow. And you can grow in spirit. You can grow in soul. You can grow in God. Or the universe. Whatever you want to call it. I think it's so difficult, because as soon as we say God, we think, oh yeah, there's that man again, and there's that idea, you know. It's very hard to get that conditioning out of you. But you have to realize that, my goodness, there's something going on here, something wonderful going on here, and that it is a friendly universe that we live in. Very friendly universe. And it wants to give us everything. Because the only way that this thing called God can prove itself is through you and what you are thinking. what you are doing. That's the only way you can prove God. You can read all the books, and you can read the Bible up one side and down the other, you can do. But you have to sit yourself down and say, God is operating in, as, and through me right here and right now. And I am giving myself permission for that to happen. I'm giving myself permission to not listen to my ego mind, which wants to constantly keep me in turmoil and keep me upset. See, that's all the ego does. Does the ego ever say something nice to you? No. It keeps you constantly in turmoil. It keeps you constantly upset. And so many people think, oh, that's what life is. Because all they ever listen to is that part of them. And there's another part you can listen to. You have to make your soul strong. Not that your soul's weak, I'm not saying that. But it appears weak because we ignore it. So give yourself permission to no longer ignore your soul so that it can start to become bigger and bigger and bigger. And so you can become bigger and bigger and bigger. That is what this whole thing is about. That is what this whole journey is about. This thing called life. So, the idea is to be in this world, but not of this world. And you are of this world when you listen to the ego. And when you act like everybody else. And we think, oh, that's all right. Everyone acts that way. This is the way people respond to these different things. Well, first of all, I should change that, react. Most people never respond to anything. They react to something. They react to something. So learn to react to something different. Learn to react to the soul that is inside of you. Give yourself permission to act differently. And I don't care. People say, oh, well, I'm too old to change, or I've always been this way. All the excuses we come up with. And you can do that if you want. And that may be the easy way. This may not be the easiest way to learn about your soul, but it's a better way. In the Bible, it says when you die unto yourself, you will start to live. When you die unto yourself. We are afraid. We are absolutely afraid to die unto ourselves. What does that mean? That means we must die from this ego. We must die from the ego. The ego has a tremendous hold on us. And we think we are the ego. Remember, you're not your mind. Your mind is yours to use. And you cannot use your mind when you're using your ego. You can learn to use your mind when you learn that you have a soul inside of you. And you start to listen to your soul. And you tell your soul, this is what I want. Then the mind will start to behave itself. The mind will start to behave itself. And it takes small steps, but you can do it. You can absolutely do that type of thing. Think of the roses. You see, that's a grand example. I have many examples from my own self. But that rose, somebody taking this up, I could have gone off the handle. You know, I could have been livid. You know, I could have done all kinds of crazy things. But I said, let them have them. Let them have the joy of those roses, Dallas. Don't let your ego carry on like that. Don't let your ego carry on like that. You know, I have a friend. I have many friends, but this particular friend just wrote a book called Follow Your Heart. It's an experience of when he was on LSD. I never took LSD, by the way. I was absolutely afraid of that type of drug when I was at the university and when I was in New York, but everyone was taking it. Because I was having enough difficulty with my mind, I thought, I don't need to take LSD. You know, I'll go off the deep end. But anyway, back to my friend. So he writes this book, right? And if you were to ask him, he would say, he's very spiritual. He's very metaphysical. But somebody at his gym did something to him. And I forget the incident, what the guy did to him. So on the way out in the parking lot, he took his key and keyed the guy's car to get back at him. Now, that's ego. That's complete ego doing that. But yet he thought that was all right. His mind, his ego said, oh, that's all right. He was mean to you, so go ahead. Scratch his car with your key. But then he turns around and thinks, that he's spiritual. That's not spiritual, people. No, he's not. But I don't say a word to these people. I just pay attention and listen and so forth. Pay attention. Listen. Give yourself permission to grow your soul, to grow your spirit, to grow that part of you that you have been neglecting. That you have been neglecting. Say to yourself, I'm going to do that from now on. There's always a different way to look at everything. Why do we always want to look at it from the ego standpoint? When we look at it from the ego standpoint, we are going down the tubes. When all we need to do is shift to the soul, to the spirit, and see things differently. And see things differently. That's all this teaching is about, you know, is to see things differently. You know. Sue is here. She loves the bumper sticker, which says, you don't have to believe every thought you think. And we have tons of thoughts that go through. You have to be able to pick the one that you want. You say, what thought do you want? What thought is going to grow you? What thought's going to grow you? We think all kinds of thoughts that stunt our growth. That stunt our growth. So give yourself permission. And if you're doing that, I did it for years, by the way, and I thought it was great. You know. Now what I want to point out, if you're doing that, or if you think, oh, goodness, God, don't scold yourself in any which way. God's never going to scold you. Love yourself and say, oh, I noticed. I finally figured that out. Oh, thank you. I'm on my way. You see? These are little aha moments. Everyone wants a big epiphany. You may get that, but probably not. But you can have little aha moments. And if you put all the little aha moments together, you're going to change your life. You're going to change your life. And you have to make those little aha moments something big. Something big. You see? This is what you want to do. This is what you want to do. And we can learn to do that. The Buddhists believe that all thoughts come from the past. All thoughts come from the past. You have to give yourself permission not to believe that. Because our mind wants to add up all the things in from the past and bring them into the future. And how many people do we, they can prove something because, oh, it happened here, 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 You don't need to do that. The past is the past. The past is the past. A wonderful saying in the Bible, no one gets it. I don't know, I'm not sure that I get it, but I'm working on it. And the little saying is, and it came from the master teacher, Jesus, let the dead bury the dead.
That was in To Kill a Mockingbird.
Well, it may be, but it's the Bible. Let the dead bury the dead. What does that mean? Don't be back there in the past digging stuff up all the time. All that stuff is going to let that just go by itself. Don't go back there and get messed up in it. Don't get messed up in that. Years ago when I was teaching at the other facility over there, I used to tell you, do not go into your mind alone because it's a bad neighborhood. You say, it's a bad neighborhood, your mind. Don't do it. Don't go into it alone. Give yourself permission to think differently. To think differently. And it has to start with you. It has to start inside of you. And since Andy and I are the only two males here, you ladies, you feminine parts of God, are able to do that easier because you're used to going inside of yourself to find the strength that you need. So go in there and give yourself permission to no longer ignore this thing called spirit, this thing called your soul. We hear that word all the time, or those two words all the time, but no one really knows what they are, do they? And no one really works on that. We do. What do we do? What do most metaphysicians spend their time doing with treatments? Trying to correct something on the outside of life. Trying to correct something on the outside of life. You have to correct things on the inside of life. If you want to do a treatment, treat for your soul. Treat for your spirit. The outside will follow. The outside will follow. That's the idea of be in this world, but don't be of this world. Don't be of the world. Rose made a wonderful statement this evening to me. And her son said to her, he doesn't listen to the news. I don't listen to the news. You shouldn't listen to the news. You know, there's not a damn word of truth in it. It's only there for ego food so that you get upset. You see? It's only there to stimulate you into thinking that the world's a mess. This world is not a mess. This world is a wonderful, wonderful thing. Wonderful out there. So see that. Give yourself permission to see that. To see your soul. To see your spirit. Whatever you want to call it. And work on those things. Leave the outside world alone. It is not going to do a damn thing for you. Not a damn thing for you. But the soul that you have, the spirit that you have, can do anything. Can do anything. Back to the young person who called me today. I call everyone young anymore. Who wanted to know about his job. And I said, sit and ask what your soul wants, you say. Or what your spirit wants. I often tell people, and I think I probably told Andy this a long time ago, spirit can do for you what you cannot do. It can find your right place and put you in. Spirit can do for you what you cannot do. It can find your right place and put you in it. And that you must give yourself permission to have in your life. To have that in your life. It's easy. It's simple. It's not complex. And because it's easy, simple, and not complex, your ego says, well, that ain't gonna work. You see? It has to be completely complicated for the ego. I bet it may work. But I'm telling you, it is simple. And life is wonderful. Give yourself permission to live it. And it's wonderful, and so are you, and so am I, and therein's the lesson. Thank you.